Committee to order. We have one matter on our calendar, SB 552 by Senator Wolk. But first, let's establish a quorum. Assistant, please call the roll.
Senators Wieckowski.
Here.
Wieckowski here. Gaines. Bates.
Here.
Bates here. Hill.
Here.
Hill here. Jackson. Leno.
Here.
Leno here. Pavley.
We're here to address the consolidation of or extension of water service in different communities. Senator, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope you enjoyed your cereal. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Last year, breakfast is very important. Last year, the legislature passed SB 88, which gives the State Water Resources Control Board the ability to mandate a consolidation when the public water system fails to provide safe drinking water. Amendments to SB 552 provide the Water Board with an additional tool to help address failing drinking water systems that serve disadvantaged communities. It authorizes the board to contract with a third-party administrator to provide administrative and managerial services to the failing public water system. Other amendments that were taken in the Assembly include cleanup language for SB 88 and clarification that ensures that the provisions of the bill are set in accordance with Prop 218 and language that will deal with prevent chaptering out. With me is Rob Eagle from the State Water Resources Control Board. I ask for your aye vote.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Rob Eagle. I'm the Legislative Director for the State Water Resources Control Board. We are the sponsors of the bill, and as Senator Wolk put it so well, this bill provides us an important additional tool for helping disadvantaged communities obtain safe drinking water. And it would enable us, in cases where the consolidation authority that you provided the board last year will not work because there isn't a nearby water system, it would enable the State Water Board to contract with an administrator and for systems that are serving disadvantaged communities and consistently fail to provide safe and affordable drinking water, to direct that they have to use that contract administrator for their operations and maintenance. It is often with these small water systems that they don't have the technical, managerial, and financial capability to operate their systems, and as a result, they don't qualify for capital financing. So this will provide us an important additional tool for helping obtain clean, safe drinking water for disadvantaged communities, and we urge your support.
At least someone suggests that this is a receivership that we're forcing these small districts in. Can you contrast that, how you see this, just the administrative function being provided or operate in these disadvantaged communities versus the that aggressive takeover, which some people may be leery of?
Well, I think one of the specifics of this bill is that we have to work towards helping the entity reobtain the operation and maintenance of the system. So it is, I will say, a type of receivership. I don't want to discount that. We are requiring them to obtain help in administering their system for a period of time until they're ready to take it back over. And again, I would emphasize that this is for systems that are serving disadvantaged communities, and they are consistently failing to provide safe drinking water. So,
Mr. Chair, the way the bill was structured, and certainly was the intent of the legislature, that's the end result. When you've gone through a process, and that's the way the board has been implementing it, you go through a process, you're there to assist to get safe drinking water to a community. And this is truly the last resort, which you really don't enter into unless everything else has failed. So that's the way I see this bill.
We say in reorganizations we bring an adult into the room,
yes,
to run things. Witnesses in support of SB 552, please come forward.
Good morning, Debbie Orr with Community Water Center, and also on behalf of Clean Water Action and Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability.
Good morning, Kyle Jones of Sierra Club, California, in support. Thank you.
Is there opposition to SB 552? Seeing no opposition, members. Senator Leno from San Francisco, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for Mr. Eagle. You had a couple of times now used the term disadvantaged communities. I'm wondering if you use that in an informal or formal fashion, meaning can these systems be anywhere in the state, or do they have to be in what's defined by the CalEnviro screen as a disadvantaged community? Because that would be problematic.
It does not use the CalEnviro screen criteria.
Good. Unfortunately, we've taken that as a de facto definition in too many ways beyond that which was originally intended.
Now, actually, Mr. Eagle has shown me some of the actions, some of the concerns that the board has had so far in the areas that they've been looking at. And I was surprised to find, maybe not so surprised to find, that it really is a statewide issue,
so
rural and urban.
These systems could be anywhere.
Indeed, and are.
And are.
Good. Many are resolved in a positive way without resorting to the tools that they have at the very end.
Mismanagement and incompetency knows no boundaries.
Mr. Chair, I move the bill.
You move the bill. Other questions? The great senator from Santa Barbara first, and then I'll have my vice chair wrap it up.
Thank you so much. Could you give us an idea of what kinds of administrative and other functions these third parties would provide?
It could be quite a wide range. I mean, again, the systems often lack the technical, managerial, and financial capabilities, so it could include all of those. It could include the actual operation of the treatment system. It could include the financial management of the system. So it could include a pretty wide range of activities.
So I guess I'm curious as to how these public water systems are incapable of the technical operation. How does this happen?
Well, that's a great question. It doesn't take much to create a water system, a public water system. And they're not necessarily what we all think of as public water systems. You can have a restaurant, for example, that has their own water supply. And they are serving enough people that they meet the definition of a public water system. So small businesses that, again, have their own well, and they can be actually often schools, they can actually often be adjacent to a larger public water system, but for various reasons, they've chosen not to connect up to them. So it doesn't take much to be a water system. I'm not suggesting that in that case we would necessarily be, having somebody take over a business or something. But there are lots of very small communities that are serving 15 or more people, and that's a public water system.
Just a question for perhaps next year. It seems to me that if someone or some entity qualifies as a public water system, shouldn't there be some criteria or a license or some kind of skill so that when they are serving water or they are, creating a water system, if you will, that we can be assured, the public can be assured that the water that's being produced is drinkable, is safe?
So we've certainly, they are permitted by the State Water Board, and we certainly have made some greater gains in that area, and Senator Wieckowski has a bill, SB 1263, that made it off the Assembly floor yesterday that will also help in that matter. We've referred to it as Stop the Bleeding.
Thank you. Sure. I don't want to get too far off the track, but I'm astonished that we're going to have to come in and actually run the basics of a water system, yeah. And the fact that we can't protect the public or assure them that if someone is running a water system, that they know how to do it and that they're doing it in a safe and healthy manner.
Senator, if I may just
Senator Wolk,
speak to that. If someone wants to start a water system now, there are a whole it's a very different situation than the vast numbers of and variety of water systems that exist, and the development that's come around them, or the quality of the water, the degradation of the water, the absence of resources, it's a very different situation. If you started one now, there would be standards that and permits. That's not the case with many, many systems of all sizes, frankly.
And if you try to start a new system on January 1, 2017, there'll be even higher standards.
Yes, good job, Mr. Chair.
The senator from Roseville, Senator Gaines.
On? Okay. Yeah, I just I had some questions in terms of rate-making ability. That authority, we have local authority that now is going to the state. And at least in my experience, we have elected officials for purveyors of water throughout my Senate district that are elected, and then rates are determined by those elected officials. So my concern is that we have a state agency coming in and having the authority of rate-making authority with no input by the users of the water.
So I would say that while in your a couple of responses. One is that, there's a wide range of water districts. And so some of them do have elected boards. They're county run, for example. But we also have mutual water companies and a wide range of others that are not as well run. And the bill is clear that the administrator would need to comply with the provisions of Proposition 218, just as the local government would need to in order to be able to raise fees.
Okay. All right.
Senator, that's on page 11. Starting on page 10, talks about the financial assistance that the state makes available to deal with, to pay for this administrator, and then it continues on the top of 11, where it makes clear that while they can set and collect water use rates and fees, that's subject to approval by the state board, but the provisions are subject to all the constitutional requirements of Article 13D.
Okay, so does that mean that it goes to a vote of the people? Or does it go to the state board?
No, it would go to a vote of the people, just as Proposition 218 would require.
Okay.
They'd have
and
to
are,
meet
are
all
some of these problems. Water agencies private?
Probably.
Yes, there are private water systems as well.
Okay, so we have, just to clarify, do we have a state water board coming in and taking over private water agencies?
Well, we wouldn't be taking them over. We would be requiring that they obtain their managerial services until they're able to provide safe drinking water. Again, this is a case where they've consistently been unable to provide safe drinking water to a disadvantaged community.
Okay, and so let's say I own a water company, and it's not reaching the standards of water clarity in the community, and the state water board has to step in. Can you explain the process of what you would do, and then? When you resolve the issues, whether it's solving water quality, raising rates, things of that nature, improving infrastructure, what happens at the end? Does the State Water Board step out and the ownership is retained by that?
Yes, that is certainly the goal, and there's explicit language in the bill that addresses that issue as well. If you don't mind, I'm going to borrow your bill, because apparently I didn't bring mine. So there's explicit language that requires that we work towards returning the system back to the owners as quickly as possible.
Compensate. Okay. All right.
It requires us to have a public hearing in the community and to provide opportunity seek to provide at least 30 days public notice to provide an opportunity for people to provide input and comment on it, Again, we have to make findings that we have to provide the system the opportunity to demonstrate to us that they actually are not, that they actually are providing safe and affordable drinking water, that they haven't been consistently failing to provide safe drinking water. So there is a lot of process built into the bill to make sure that both the owner of the system and the affected community have input and a say in the decision. And as Senator Wolk said, we really do view this as a last resort. We spend an extraordinary amount of time with these small water systems, providing technical assistance, trying to provide them financial assistance. Just have some that we just haven't been able to get past that.
Okay, and consolidations, you mentioned consolidation, so how would that work? If you're trying to combine a couple of agencies in a region or something, what is that process and what's the public input?
So that provision actually is in SB 88 from last year, the consolidation pieces, and it similarly requires quite extensive, between the consolidation of two systems, it requires us to notify the systems that we think that they should be consolidated and then to back off for 6 months and allow them to try and work it out themselves, see if they can voluntarily consolidate. It then, again, provides extensive public process. But that is actually in a different bill that has already passed. This bill has some cleanup provisions to that were requested by the stakeholders as that bill was going through.
Is there an eminent domain issues?
There is not.
Okay. All right. The bill also mandates coordination with the appropriate LAFCO, Local Agency Formation Commission, and any other relevant local agency, I'm quoting, to facilitate the change of organization or reorganization if needed.
Okay.
It can't go beyond.
Yeah.
This is a local partnership.
Thank you, and
I appreciate all the questions.
I mean, I'm just looking at it right now. So I'm going to vote no for now. I'm going to look at it more closely. I guess it's going to come, is it going to come on the floor today or?
I'm not sure. Either today or Monday.
All right.
Or Wednesday. Yeah, we got plenty of time.
So I have questions. We can.
Plenty of time. We have plenty of time to talk about issues with you.
Okay,
Senator.
Very well. Thank you.
Senator Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, as I listen to the conversation and the questions, this really, it's so refreshing because, you know, the decision we made a couple of years ago to move the drinking water program to the State Water Resources Control
Correct.
Board has, you know, because we saw such a problem and the neglect of these water systems around California and the basic right of people to have safe drinking water. I mean, what more of a basic governmental function than to make sure that drinking water is safe and available for people to drink. And so this just validates that decision we made, and I'm just really excited about the process that you're and the progress that you're making with this, and happy to support it. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Orange County's Senator Patricia C. Bates, you are next.
You're not going to call me Patty today. I kind of like that yesterday. I'm a little confused on the process, too, because I remember a very emotional moment we had in here over Porterville and the provision of safe drinking water. And that was a CEQA challenge. That actually came back under reconsideration, was modified, got to suspense, and on suspense, there was a requirement that there be a partnership with the county that they provide some of the funding. So on two fronts, will there be any CEQA issues when something like this happens? And number two, if it does require more funding, and let's say that's a larger expense, who's going to provide that?
I don't believe that it would trigger CEQA because, again, we're directing a public water system that's already under a permit by the board to have to obtain their services from another entity. So I don't believe that event would trigger CEQA. If I'm incorrect and it did, then we would obviously have to comply with CEQA. The funding is an important one, and I want to be very clear about this. The bill is very clear that that the community is not responsible for the cost of the administrator. And there will be costs associated with this bill. And frankly, many of these systems also are going, I mean, they are in a vicious cycle. They're too small to be able to raise the revenues. They're a disadvantaged community. They're too small to be able to raise the revenues to be able to effectively operate their system. And because of that, they don't qualify for the capital funds, as we've already talked about, and they end up in this continued cycle. And so the administration has been working on, and I believe discussing with the legislature different ways to help disadvantaged communities and help address the operation and maintenance costs of disadvantaged communities, regardless of whether they would be under this program or just, you know, as a means to help them get out of that vicious cycle. And it will take some funding source to be able to help them. We don't envision that we're going to be able to use this authority to any great extent without some additional funding.
Ms. Wagner, our chief consultant, you can add something.
So I think, and I know Senator Hill will remember this, and Senator Lennon said from a few years ago when we were talking about transferring the program, that we have primarily 3% of Californians that are affected by consistently unclean drinking water or unsafe drinking water, where they don't meet the maximum contaminant levels, where we have struggled, as I know you all have shared the frustration of bond after bond to try to address those concerns. A few years ago, the federal government gave a community in the Central Valley, the Lanier Water System, the capital monies to build a treatment facility. And that it was a, I believe, $1.2 million project where they got a brand new treatment facility. In less than a year, they lacked the technical, managerial, and financial capacity to run their treatment facility, and the treatment facility was shut down. So I think what the consolidation authority that was granted by the legislature last year was meant to do was to say, for a lot of these small, because when we're talking about this 3%, we're talking about very small water systems, to bring them together. And for this particular bill, when we don't have a larger system nearby or several small systems that are next to each other that we can physically bring pipes together, that this would allow the water board to contract with an administrator. So rather than extending the pipes, we're just extending the services so that the state, it will cost the state money, but hopefully in the long run it will save us significant money from having to go into these systems repeatedly with penalties and in the very short term and long term actually be able to provide effective administration of the water system. So I think the aim of this bill is the effective administration of the water system. I don't know, Senator Bates, if that's helpful.
Senator Gaines, you have a follow-up question.
And it dovetails nicely. So if we're giving this additional authority to State Water Board and they are providing administrative services, shouldn't those be on a competitive basis? I mean, why wouldn't we look at putting these out in the contract? How do we know that your costs are reasonable and competitive within the marketplace?
So I do want to clarify that the State Water Board would not be operating these systems. We would contract for a third-party administrator to run these systems.
Okay, on a competitive basis?
I think that it gives us the ability to do sole source, and I think at times we would certainly use competitive if that were made sense. In some cases, you know, we need to make sure that they have the expertise and can actually run the system for them. But we would certainly want to make sure the state's getting the best deal and the community's getting the best deal for their money.
Okay, so in the practical examples where you could have competitive bidders with the State Water Board, make sure that happens?
That would be our intent.
Okay, great, thank you.
Senator Leno.
Also a follow-up question. So I'm looking on page 6. The bill does refer specifically to disadvantaged communities. And then under definitions, disadvantaged communities means a disadvantaged community is defined by Section 79505.5 of the Water Code. given that we're not, that's different from Cal Enviro Screen, how do we define disadvantaged community in that section of the water code? Do you know?
I believe, and I'm sorry, I really should know that, but I believe that it has two criteria. One is a population and one is a financial. The financial piece I'm sure of, which is that it's less than the
income level.
It is income level. It's a median household income, and it's less than 80% of median household income. And I believe the population size is 20,000 or less.
Why don't we get you the exact language in the site?
Well, I'd like to incorporate that into...
Yes, indeed. I know where you're going.
Cal Enviro Screen.
With you.
Yeah.
Let's look at that.
That would be Cal Enviro Screen 4.0, right? Because we are on 3.0, so we have made some steps to address the concerns that we have. Senator Pavley, you have a question.
First question is, has there been a motion to...
There has, Mr.
Okay. So, just an observation. This is something BQ and the Water Committee should put on their agenda for the next several years. Mm-hmm. We've made some progress, but part of it goes back to a variety of circumstances. It's the role of counties and LAFCO's improving development without requiring hookup to either nearby municipal water lines or other kinds of options. Some of them is just change the land use over time. Maybe once there were migrant farm workers worked seasonally, now full-time families living year-round without a hookup. We also have severely overdrafted groundwater basins that we hope to become more sustainable, where, frankly, people have been left high and dry. But the Porterville situation is really a prominent one. It was mm-hmm. an isolated, unincorporated area that was allowed to expand, and the city had no obligation. So where's the LAFCO? Where's the county? So lessons learned from that, because I'm with Mr. Hill. This is a fundamental right. It's not just rural areas. We've had some instances in LA County of very small cities that aren't able to provide. So joint powers agreements and working with other and consolidation and moving this from the Department of Public Health to the State Water Board has really been helpful in trying to address this. At the end of the day, just on human terms, but also on financial terms, you should find out how much taxpayer money through Prop 1 and the bond we are using to haul water to all these communities around the state that could be spent and should be spent doing something else. We have some third world conditions in our state. Things aren't going to get better until groundwater basins are managed, but it's that basic land use planning and providing minimal infrastructure that had been missing for way too many years. So appreciate the good work.
That's a lot of homework that you've just given.
No, Senator Wolf.
She's really correct.
But you have to monitor this over time.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pavley is absolutely correct. This is at the State Water Board, to be perfectly blunt, because the local communities have refused to take responsibility and have, in fact, fought hard against my bill this year, which was an attempt to get LAFCOs to at least take some kind of responsibility for looking at the issue and raising the issue. We couldn't get there. Too much opposition from every quarter. But that's why it's at the State Water Board. But it's complicated for the state to solve it. The bill is an attempt, and SB 88 as well, to deal with the financial as well as respecting the local community's authority. But at some point, if the carrots don't work, you do need the stick, because ultimately it's about individuals' right to clean water in the sixth largest economy in the world. So that's my close.
Okay, but we will let's hear from the magic words from the water code that we're hanging on.
We need the site.
Ms. Wagner.
79505.5 defines disadvantaged community as a community with an annual median household income that is less than 80% of the statewide annual median household income.
And thank you very much for that, because I have a note here that says, per the Cal Enviro Screen, almost a third of disadvantaged communities have incomes over 80%. So that is in direct conflict with the definition of disadvantaged community in the water code.
Senator Gaines, you have a second follow-up question.
Sorry about that, but I just, I'm wondering if we could we get a breakout per Senate district of the affected water agencies?
The failing,
yeah.
I can go back and ask for folks to work on that. I don't know of our capabilities to do that. We can certainly provide a list.
Even a list would be helpful.
And I would just want to clarify that whatever list we provide would not at all mean that either they're targeted for consolidation or that they would be targeted under this bill. Again, our real efforts are first and foremost to see if we can help them with technical assistance and other means to be able to get them to deliver safe drinking water without state intervention. So. Okay. I wouldn't want any misunderstanding about what that list
you'd
would
have
mean.
A disclosure on it.
it would be nice
to know if we could try to identify where they're located in our districts.
Yeah. Seeing no other questions, seeing the close, seeing a motion has been made, please call the roll. This is due pass to the floor.
Item 1, SB 552 by Senator Wolk. The motion is that the assembly amendments be concurred in. Senators Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye. Gaines?
No.
Gaines, no. Bates?
No.
Bates, no. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Pavley?
Aye.
Pavley, aye.
The vote is 5-2. The matter is approved. We concur in the assent of the amendments. We are now adjourned.